हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 48. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, because Baladev was the elder brother of the cause of the universe, and Vishnu sleeping on the ocean, because he was a dear friend, Krishna should not have deceived him, though he should have desired to reveal everything to Baladev before this. Such a desire did not arise, because he did not want Balarama to suffer any separation from Sridhama and the others for the period of a year. And he did not suffer from separation himself, because he was close to them in an expanded form, who was looking for the calves. Balaram did not appear in any expanded form during this pastime. Then, after a year passed, when the Lord desired, Yogamaya withdrew her cover gradually from Balaram. It was not sudden, in order to make Baladev take the viewpoint of the devotee and immerse him also in an ocean of the Lord's power. Because he's the Supreme Personality of Devotee Godhead, right? Or Servitor Godhead. So then, because otherwise if they're actually gone and it's just Krishna there, then he's with Krishna, but he's there with Krishna, but then he'll be missing his cowherd boyfriends. So that Balaram didn't have to go through that, then it just went like this. So then Balaram was happy the whole time. But at the end, because now he wanted him to know, then removing Yogamaya, then gradually it starts to, what's going on here? You know, it's not just a sudden like this. You know, it's gradual. Lord Balaram thought, what is this wonderful phenomena? The affection of all the inhabitants of Braja, including me, towards these boys and calves, is increasing as never before. Just like our affection for Lord Krishna, the supersoul of all living entities. Srila Prabhupada comments, this increase of affection was not maya. Rather, because Krishna has expanded himself as everything, and because the whole life of everyone in Vrindavan was meant for Krishna. The cows, because of affection for Krishna, had more affection for the older calves than for the new calves, and the men increased in their affection for their sons. Balaram was astonished to see all the residents in Vrindavan so affectionate towards their own children, exactly as they had been before for Krishna, right? Because you can see the difference between the affection for Krishna and for their own sons. But now he's seeing there's no difference. Right? You know, so that's the uniqueness. Similarly, the cows had grown affectionate towards their calves as much as towards Krishna. Balaram was surprised to see the acts of Yogamaya. Therefore, he inquired from Krishna, what is happening here? What is this mystery? Right? Because it's something that's not normal. And so now he's asking him, what's happening here? Because if Balaram doesn't understand, what does that mean?
Nobody can,
right? Only Krishna knows. Because he is basically everything after Balaram. All the expansions of the Lord, Balaram will be aware of everything. So if he doesn't understand everything and he controls the whole cosmos, then it must be Krishna. Therefore he's inquiring, what is happening here? Lord Balaram continued, who is this mystic power and where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me? Right? Because then in that human thing. Who is it? Is it a demigod? Is it a demoness? Where does this power come from? Right? Because they're male, so they know any of these kind of thing is feminine. So they it's not a matter of who is this, that, like the Brajabasis might think. He just immediately knows it's some energy. But since he's in control of all energies, then the only one that has energies that he controls, that Balaram himself does it, will be Krishna. Therefore, now he's thinking only he can do this. Footnote 21. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 36 to 37 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of True Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So just as we see Lord Shiva being bewildered by Mohini Murti, he felt that increase of love, that just the potency of the Lord and how he's interacting with his devotees. So Balaram now feels the same thing. So it's just that expression of that affection. Srila Prabhupada comments, Balaram was surprised. This extraordinary show of affection, he thought, was something mystical, performed either by the demigods or some wonderful man. Otherwise, how could this wonderful change take place? Quote, this Maya might be some Rakshasi Maya, he thought, but how can Rakshasi Maya have any influence upon me? This is not possible. Therefore, it must be the Maya of Krishna. He thus concluded that the mystical change must have been caused by Krishna, whom Balaram considered his worshipable personality of Godhead. He thought, that's why Balaram's a personality of Godhead, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Right? Like in, just in general, it depends upon how it's being applied, but in general, then you'll see Prabhupada when he's talking about Vishnu and different incarnations, he'll talk about the personality of Godhead. But then when he talks about Krishna, it's the supreme personality of Godhead. So only if he's talking about Krishna coming in these other forms, and it's Krishna who's doing that, then he'll talk in that way, generally. He thought, it was arranged by Krishna, and even I could not check its mystic power. Thus Balaram understood that all these boys and calves were only expansions of Krishna. Right? So Krishna's a revealing, you know, first he sees the symptoms, then he starts to reveal so he can actually understand that it's Krishna's expanded. That's why they have the same affection. Right? Because if it's some power, why it looks like that, then no one other than Krishna can have that power over Balaram. So if Krishna has that power, then that means the power of that is Krishna. So that would mean that the cowherd boys and the cows are Krishna. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thinking in this way, Lord Balaram was able to see, with the eye of transcendental knowledge, that all these calves and Krishna's friends were expansions of the form of Sri Krishna. So that'll be interesting and attractive. But at the same time is that over a long period of time, he'll miss his friends. That's why Krishna didn't reveal it until now. But Lord Baladev said, O Supreme Controller, these boys are not great demigods, as I previously thought, nor are these calves great sages like Narada. Now I can see that you alone are manifesting yourself in all varieties of difference. Although one, you are existing in the different forms of the calves and boys. Please briefly explain this to me, right? Because he's done it, so it's his free will, so now please explain what's going on. You know, he doesn't do any of the, you tricked me, you lied to me, you know, you were not straight with me at one point. Is anything you've ever said, you know, true? And, did I catch them all? Did I miss any of them? No, I got them. Okay. Yeah, so none of those. It's just, oh, okay, because he said it pleases him, so what would you please explain this to me, why you're doing this pastime? Please briefly explain. He doesn't have to get into a long thing, because he doesn't owe him anything. He's still a worshipable Lord. So therefore, then, he's just asking you, please briefly explain so I kind of know, and then if he wants to explain more, he will. But if not, then... Having thus been requested by Lord Baladev, Krishna explained the whole situation, and Baladev understood it. Verses 40 to 64, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. Right? Because he knows what it is and that it's something to do with Brahma, it's going to happen. And that's the fun, so he won't miss the cowherd boys. Right? But you can see before, he thought that they were demigods, because the demigods all come as the associates of the Lord. And then great sages, all these calves and that, the great sages like Narada, because generally the sages are in that Shanta Rasa, so the calves then they'll have all that. So that's how he's seeing it before. And so these great personalities, and you know, he's having fun. He's the supreme, I mean, he's the personality of Godhead, so therefore then he has fun interacting with the devotees in this way, but all in, because he's servant of Krishna, all in relationship to Krishna. Does that make sense? So now here is the demigods, they come, they take, they appear, and so then their appearance as all these different personalities, because originally all the positions of the demigods and that expand from the eternal associates. Right? So then, to bring out that aspect of the human pastimes and all that, then you take it from that point of the demigod. So the demigod who is expanded from the particular cowherd boy, right? Now, when the cowherd boys are present, they merge into those original associates. You know, just like, let's say, Sridham. Then one of his expansions as it comes down will be Garuda. Right, so then the demigod Garuda, then he'll come in the as Sridham, but means he has entered into the form of Sridham, because that's where he's originally from. So in that way, you could say they're the demigods, but at the same time they're eternal associates. That's why sometimes it may be talking about one or the other, and it's so, well, is it this or that? It's both. Right? Because they're who they're originally from. You know, just like Krishna, when he comes out of the palace, all these Krishnas are there, and then as they come to the different streets that come together, then two Krishnas come together as one, and like this and that, until there's just one Krishna enters the assembly hall. And then when he walks back out, when he gets to a split in the road, then there's two Krishnas and that split, and like this, until he's 16,108. So there's no contradiction, there's still Krishna. Right? So as these associates expand down, they're still the associate, but for that pastime. Right? In Vrindavan, then he's Sridham, but when you're working with Vishnu, when Krishna comes as Vishnu, he's Garuda. Right? What will Vishnu do with Sridham? Right? Because they're taking that position as God, so therefore then the devotees all take positions like demigods. Then it matches. Right? But when you have the human-like form, then the devotees are in that form. Does that make sense? So that's why in that form, in that mood, then they don't match into that other pastime. Right? So it's only... Yes. Does this make sense? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions that after describing the bewilderment of the cowherd men and women in the previous verses, the bewilderment of Brahma is now described. Right? So how the cowherd men and women, the cows, they were all bewildered by Krishna's maya, right? In a good way, so that they all developed more love for Krishna and tasted that relationship. Now he'll describe how Brahma was now bewildered by this maya. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Lord Brahma returned after a moment, right? One of his moments, not one of our moments. Right? When Lord Brahma returned after a moment of time had passed, according to his own measurement, he saw that although by human measurement a complete year had passed, Lord Krishna, after all that time, was engaged just as before in playing with the boys and calves. So exactly as he saw it before, it's going on. Who are his expansions? Footnote 22. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 40. To Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the dimensions of the unlimited dimensions of rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So that he came and he got bewildered like that, that's very pleasing to Krishna, because that was what the whole pastime was about. Right? He's expanded the cowherd boys and calves to fulfill the desire of all the elders in Vrindavan and the cows, and so that they have their wish fulfilled. And Brahma, because he's thinking he's being very clever, then Krishna is tricking him back, And that's giving great pleasure to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada comments. After one moment of Brahma's calculation, Brahma came back to see the fun caused by his stealing the boys and calves. Right, because he's not doing it in a malicious way. He's just doing this, you know, who is this person and that, and who's manifesting such great power, but Brahma being the most powerful in the universe, then he thinks, you know, okay, you're powerful, you know, well, let's have some fun here. Brahma came back to see the fun caused by his stealing the boys and calves, but he was also afraid that he was playing with fire, because if he is the Supreme Personality of God in his original form, then he's playing with fire. If he's just a great personality, then, you know, then we'll have some fun. So there's that dual aspect that you can have these two, because it's affection for Krishna. So these are how sanctuary bhavas can work. You can either have two that are the similar, right, that they match each other, but different flavors of two. But you can also have two that are opposing. You know, some fun and fear, right? Fun and fear don't go together unless you like horror movies or roller coaster rides. But, yes, but that's how how they work. They temporarily come up to bring something of the main thing of Sai Baba, of his, you know, feelings of service towards Krishna. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense? Yeah?
No,
okay.
Can we say that, you know, that he's making fun of Krishna? Kind of, but checking him, it's not inimical to the rasa, or it is, in a sense.
In one sense, he seems to, on one level as Brahma, and that capacity of Brahma, then being the son of Krishna, then there's more of that aspect of respect and service and all that. So in that way, that's why the fear is there. But if he's just a great, powerful personality, then he being Brahma, he's just having some fun. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's why I was saying it has these opposites. So you can have just one flavor come up at one point, or you can also have these mixes. Right. Yes.
If we compare the pastime with Lord Brahma and the pastime with Lord Indra, can we say that Brahma being a devotee, we say that our Brahma is devotee, so his way of dealing with Krishna was still not malicious.
Yes.
While Indra,
oh no, that was pure jealousy. Yeah. Because he's thinking he's the supreme in the universe. I mean, he knows above him is Vishnu and all that, but because Krishna is taking the human form, they don't know this. You know, they just take it that they do the standard pastimes, because Vishnu always, it's obvious, is Vishnu. He does Vishnu stuff. But here, then, Krishna is doing human stuff. And that kind of mood, that sweetness is there. While in other avatars, you know, the Dwapara Yuga avatar of Krishna, then it'll have that aspect of Vishnu. It'll be Vaikuntha. So even though there'll be these different things, the rules being followed, all that aspect of Maryada will be more there. And then you would, you know, set example. If you're taking the human, you set example of how to do, like Lord Ramachandra, he worships Lord Shiva. You know, because Ramachandra taking the position of a human, Shiva being a demigod, being in a superior position, therefore, because he's going to go and fight with his devotee, therefore he's offering that worship. Same with the ocean. He's coming, you know, doing his meditation to ask the Varuna to allow him, you know, some passage and like this. So he takes that role, but you see it's all done properly, and it doesn't in no way is anybody ever dealt with in an improper way. Right? So Krishna will have a little bit more of that sweetness and fun than with Ramachandra. That'll be much more Maryada, much more formal. But still, when Swayam Krishna comes, then he's doing things you have, being the source of everything, then you have the greatest manifestation of contradictions. Right? Because if you're talking about expansion like this, then so many contradictions are resolved there, but you'll have the most contradictions resolved in Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah.
We see in Bhagavatam several examples when somebody does something unfavorable to Krishna, but it is still pleasing to him. And then we see the examples, for example, with Damodara Leela, then Mother Yashoda, she does something not pleasing to Krishna, but it is favorable, devotion.
Right.
So how can we deal with those points? Because it's very contradictory there.
But yes. But as we said, when you're dealing with rasa, the sthayi bhava, then to bring out flavors in the sthayi bhava, the sanchari bhavas are connected with that. Like, means like you see, is you have the sthayi bhava, right? Then from the vibhava, that brings up the, you know, reasons for feeling or expressing the relationship, right? And from that you'll get the results of the anubhavas and the sattvika bhavas, right? So those would be a manifestation of that result of the of interacting on the platform, the vibhava, right? The sanchari bhavas appear, they're more connected with the sthayi bhava and bring about flavors within the sthayi bhava. Right, so you have the fixed thing and then you have these 32 that come in. You know, sometimes they're called transitory, sometimes they're called aggressive. You know, it's just like, let's say something's acute, it comes in quickly and goes, while chronic is more in the background and more stable. Yeah. Right? So there's something that comes up and then goes. Does that make sense? So, in there, the contradictory aspects can work nicely. They don't have to, but they can. You know, it's just like, why is somebody happy and crying? Or he's annoyed, but he's laughing. You understand? It's not, it's things that you get. So you have all those, or somebody wants something, but they act as if they don't, or, you understand? So it can, but it's all in connection with the basic rasa. So these contradictions can be there, but generally speaking, is the contradictions means that there's a finer element that's there. That's why you'll see in generally these, the more it leans towards majesty, the less contradiction you'll see. And then the more it goes towards sweetness, then you can accommodate these contradictions. Because the basis is just the affection. And then these contradictions make for a wider variety of tastes. So since Krishna is everything, then technically there is no contradiction. Because it's all Him. But it's still varieties of taste within the relationship with Him. So that is connected to Him, that makes it perfect. That is connected to Him with affection, then that's the best. And so, therefore, all these different things come up to just start create that variety. Because now if you're dealing on maryada, right, on rules, then what would Krishna do when Mother Yashoda went to set the pot right on the fire? He would peacefully wait because he's the son, the mother is taking care, and so therefore she had duties to do as a mother. And, you know, then the niceness of those duties in this case are, one, her household, but they're in connection with him. And so then that affection would be what would be tasted at the time. And so that would, in other words, she's dealing with him nicely, then she leaves him to take care of duties in connection with him, it would increase the relationship, the rasa, right? Then, when she comes back, then it would increase again, right? So it has its you could say, natural obvious step-by-step increments. But then when you're dealing with just sweetness, and maryada is not an important aspect unless it enhances the taste at the time, then it can increase in a more dynamic way, with greater intensity. You know, and it also leaves more the element of what would you say? The variety of, let's say, surprise, right? So it's just a matter of what may come up. How will Yoga Maya arrange this?
Unpredictable,
but it's the surprise is the taste. It's unpredictable, but that's only because there's unlimited variety, so what will be brought out. But it'll be something in line with, because there has to be a common thread of taste. But at the same time, as the varieties you can get in this taste, then are much greater when it's just sweetness. That's why in Braj you get the most. Dwarka, because it has that element of sweetness, you'll get some. You know, some aspect of the Marjata, some aspect of the sweetness. And in Vaikuntha, the prominence is the Marjata. Right? But at the same time, is there is that touch of sweetness, so that's what makes it fun, is that difference. How he's the Supreme Lord, but then, you know, he's stealing the cloth of the gopis, right? He doesn't need to steal anything, it's all his anyway. But it just brings out that little bit, because that contradictory, it just adds that little bit. But for them, it's just a touch. You know, you have the very formal meal and everything like that, and there's a the extra glasses, the extra this and that, and some little extra little things around. And these little extras just add to the greatness. Right? Like that. But now, let us say all those little things around the edge, you know, the little snackies and this and that, then you just bring all the, because those are your favorite things, that's why it adds, but it's a formal environment, so it just makes that touch better. Now you just have those, and you remove the formality. So you can just sit, laugh, joke, eat this, that, you know, take off each other's plates, you can do all that stuff. So you can see is that it's so much more dynamic. The other one is good. That's why it says it's perfect. Then, as it goes more, it's more perfect than most perfect. Does that make sense? So these contradictory things are just to bring out the elements of sweetness. Because it's not about... Remember, the rule is Krishna happy? That's the rule. Now, then Krishna creates forms in which happiness is there to express it. But in Vrindavan, it's more about the happiness. The forms are there to assist. Right, but if they don't match, it's not a problem because the focus is just on the taste. While we come down to the aspect of majesty, then the form is very important to express the affection. So that's why in Vaikuntha everything goes perfectly because it has to. Otherwise, they can't express. Well, the other one, they can express directly, even if there is no, the form is not right. Like Lakshmi, when she comes out to sit with Vishnu on his throne in Vaikuntha, how will she be dressed? Good, right? Nothing wrong. Everything perfect. But when the gopis go out to meet Krishna at the Rasa dance, how are they dressed? Everything's upside down. You know, they put the... Some of them, you know, they put the how do you explain that? Because there's no proper common terms in the... You have close terms. Like you have, a gagra and a dupatta, right? But before, the dupatta wasn't short like this. It was a full sari. That's why it was called a sari. So then some will say, no, but they didn't wear saris, they wore gagras. But the point is that's the dress. The top part's the sari. So instead of having the short 2 meter, 2 and a bit meter dupatta, you had the 4 or 5 meter sari. That's what it was full width, it's full. You understand? So you had the gagra and then it was put on, but it started on the bottom. You folded the kacha, put it in the front, and then went around. And the gagra took care of the other stuff. Does that make sense? So like that, they put the top cloth on the bottom cloth on the top, or take the sari instead of putting it on like that, just tie it around their ankle. You know, because you're saying you're going to put on ankle bells, but they tie the dupatta. You understand? They'll just put on one. They're thinking of Krishna putting on their eyeliner, but only put it on one eye because they're two, and then they go. So all those things there, so that increases. Now in Vaikuntha, if Lakshmi comes out, you know, in sweatpants and stuff like that, you know, everyone will go, uh-oh, what did Vishnu do? You know, like that. So it's not happening. because it's always perfect. He's perfect, she's perfect, everything's perfect. But so, therefore, that imperfection in Vaikuntha wouldn't increase the taste. You know, people would become confidence lack the thing, because it's the rules through what they express, and the rules are being broken. So what's their position? What's their identity? You understand? It'll reduce the taste in Vaikuntha. But in Braj, because it's just affection, that they're so affectionate that they were so bewildered and so impatient to come see Krishna, then them coming out like that, that increases the flavor. Right? So Krishna sees that. But having come and all that, then during the Yogamaya arranges that they're all dressed properly. So they don't go on. They're not, really hard to do the rasa dance with your sari tied around your ankle, and the next two or three gopis and Krishna are stepping on it. It doesn't work out very good. So Yogamaya arranges it all, but Krishna can see and appreciate how they're coming to see him. So these things that aren't right just increase the devotee, because it's about the taste. But as is being seen by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out, it's about the taste according to how Krishna says is the taste, not us. That's why we have to be very careful. We don't project our ideas of happiness on Krishna. Does that make sense? I like, this kind of, food, and therefore it's so great, and I think it's the most fabulous in the three worlds, so because Krishna is the best, he must be eating this. You know what I'm saying? So in Goloka, right? He's eating it here because you're cooking it and offering it to him, and he's eating it here. So in his pastimes here as Kiradakshai Vishnu, he is eating it. But as Braja Krishna, there's a good chance he's not. Yes.
So can we say that whatever works in one realm,
yes,
in another, it's actually rasabhas, it just,
yes,
doesn't work.
Yes.
And then in material sphere, for us, then we have to be very careful.
Only when you follow Shastra. And, we're following because we should do that, is that Maryada aspect. Then it kind of works, because then we can function on that Vaikuntha level. Does that make sense?
There's no question of spontaneous here, because it doesn't
work. Spontaneous is an attitude, not what you do. That's the thing, is if we take it spontaneous, it means what I do is, like the friends are walking along, and going over the bridge, over the nice, kind of creek, and then one, it's warm, it's in the summertime, one says, hey, let's go swimming, and just dives off the thing, and they all do that, and wow, he's so spontaneous, and, man, he's crazy, and, stuff like that. So, but the point is that's not how it works, because if that was so good, then they would jump off the bridge every time, and then it just becomes regular. So it's, they can think back, when they're with their friends. Hey, remember the time we jumped off the bridge in the summertime down in Savannah, like this and that. So, yeah, it was one time. And you might do it one more time somewhere else. They're out on a boat and then they jump in, or, some other thing. So there is that, but it's not going to happen as a regular thing. It can't. Because what's the form of it? How do you know? How do you express spontaneity? They used it here, but to do it again, because it's mundane, it won't give the taste. But if it's in line with what should be done, right? Because generally you don't swim with all your clothes on, including your shoes. So that's why you don't jump off the bridge. Right? So therefore, the rules that are given in the Shastra, what's given for us, therefore the Varnashram, is the form we use. And if we're just getting adjusted with that, and that's how we're comfortable serving Krishna, then we call that Vaidhi. When that form is very comfortable, that you can do it with your eyes closed, and it's about how it's pleasing Krishna, that's called spontaneous, or Raganuga. But the form of it will look exactly the same. Does that make sense? That's because we're used to spontaneous means something different, but actually the modern concept of spontaneous means whimsical. The spontaneous means just that affection. It's just like, let's say, okay, the father, the man, he comes, home back from overseas, he's been deployed, you know, over there, and he comes back. And so then, you know, as he either, how do you say, you know, comes into the airport or comes into the house or wherever it is that they see. Now, generally at airports, what happens, right? You're standing over there. The person comes out with their luggage. You see them. You look around. You spot them. You go over to where they are. Yeah, maybe the kids, you know, something like this, some hi or this or that. Then you get there, and then there'll be some hugging and this and that and everything like that, right? So that's the standard thing. Spontaneous will be, you know, the kid, the wife, the girlfriend, whatever it is, just breaking all the rules, just comes running up and jumps on them, right? That's the meaning. Because it's based on affection. It's not an activity. Now if you think, okay, every time they come, then you have to run and jump and like that, then it becomes vaidhi. So that's why there's no separate form for vaidhi. It has its natural path, and just sometimes the affection overwhelms and it, something will happen. And so there are symptoms of it, but it doesn't have a separate form. Does this make sense? So, generally speaking, we're attached to something has its own form because we're all about form and activity. Because results, and then from the results, getting that results, I'll be happy. So we're always looking, well, what's the form of it? But it's not a form. It usually, vaidhi is the form. And now and again, it becomes, you know, adjusted. You know, like you're cooking your standard recipe, and then because you know so much about the cooking, you're going and thinking, wow, hey, I could do this. And then you do that, and it comes out fabulous. While other people go in and, you know, try to be, you know, I say, do a lot of foofing, you know, like that. And then it doesn't come out okay. Because the attitude's wrong. So spontaneity is an attitude. It may change the form, it may not. You know, like everybody else in Mongol Arctic is half asleep during, you know, and one person's over there dancing and very happily. You know, that's the spontaneous aspect. You know, so it's against the norm, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. That's why it's a matter of more maturity, and the appreciation is more maturity. We're always looking for this form. That's the understanding that of that childish, immature kind of thing, and then due to bad association, we think it's in the form. It can't be in the form. Because Braja Bhakti is not about the form. It's about the devotion. Now there's natural forms to express that devotion, but the point is, the sense, sometimes the intensity of it goes beyond. It doesn't always follow the normal course. But you see, most of the time it does. Does that make sense? So that's why then the pastimes that we see some uniqueness, those are the ones being described. We see the standard and we see the uniqueness. Right? But the day-to-day standard, like he kills the demons. Every, you know, says two or three demons a day. You know, there's the before breakfast one, before lunch one, after lunch one, like this, you know. So only the major ones, outstanding ones that were different from normal, then they're shown. Or one that is very standard. You know, so the standard mood of how Krishna interacts with the cowherd boys and all these kind of things, that's there. But at the same time, the uniqueness of this particular... Does that make sense? So it's about the taste of the rasa. It's not about what they're doing. In a sense, so that's why the sahaja is all about what they're doing. Oh, hey, you know, they're doing this. Wink, wink. Hey, not, you know, wow. We understand these other guys, you know. It's like, you know, we know. Goys don't know what's going on, right? You know, so that kind of thing, we know what's happening and the others don't. But the point is that's not how it works. It's, you understand that aspect or you don't. And it doesn't matter because it's connected to Krishna, it's all perfect. That's why whether it's contradictory, not contradictory, mixed, it doesn't matter. It's connected to Krishna. When it's done with affection, then it's favorable. When it's done without affection, it's not. Like that. So even if you follow the form, but it's not for pleasing Krishna, you'll get the benefit of the form. Because the form is given by Krishna, so Krishna will reciprocate that. But when it's done to please Him, then that's more. You understand? So now if one comes up with the doubt, So that means I don't actually have to follow any form. I can do whatever I like. But then that's the weakness there, is because whatever I like, not whatever Krishna would like. So the form that's given is what Krishna likes. And that form, and that form being offered with devotion, is what Krishna actually likes. So in other words, the form is there to express. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, you want to bake a cake, okay? Or a cupcake. You put it in a form, right? Because if you just took the pancake, you know, the cupcake batter, poured it on the sheet, then you'd end up with a kind of crunchy cookie, right? Right? Yeah. You know, so it wouldn't exactly be, you know, what did you make? What's this? Cupcakes. Yeah? This looked like cookie. So the form just adds to that. But it's not about the form of the cupcake. It's about the taste of the cupcake. And that form happens to bring out the cupcake-ness. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, it's subtle. They're different, but they're the same. So because it's in that shape, you call it a cupcake. If the form was the same shape, but, you know, like 10 times bigger, then you call it a cake. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that it does have an effect, but at the same time, it's different, but it's non-different. So we, as conditioned souls, we put the emphasis on the external form. And we think it's because it's this shape, that makes it the cupcake. You know, so if I took, you know, a bunch of, you know, nicely mixed up mud, poured it into that shape, then according to that philosophy, it would be a cupcake. Right? But it's not. So the point is, the principle has to be there along with the secondary. If you have the secondary without the principle, it will look like it's a cupcake, but there's no taste, because the cupcake is the taste, the experience. So you'll have something that looks like a cupcake, but it won't give that experience. That's the material world. Everything here is literally hollow. It has the form. It has the activities. It gives results. But all of that is empty. You do them, there is no taste. We project, I will be happy if this happens. And so therefore, because of that projection, I'm experiencing something. But someone else in the same situation gets nothing. You know, just, hey, come, see this, you know, and I'm really excited about it. And I show them and they go, yeah, so? But don't you see, it's this. Yeah, whatever. You know, like that. So that's the thing, because they're not projecting that will make them happy. Right? That's why you choose, you know, your friends, so that you all have the same, you know, empty happiness. Otherwise, you know. Yes, like that. So you have same projection. And then you all try to make that, you know, make it complete by adding Krishna. So the point is the taste of anything is Krishna. And the form and all that is simply to carry it. So that's why, seeing that we don't know Krishna, we use the recommended forms. Even though you can say, oh, but they're formal and this and that, but that's where you start. And then you learn, then you develop, then you can get into things. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. Okay. So, yeah.
Let me say about the sanctuary bhav. The sanctuary bhav basically depends upon the sky bhav in which a particular devotee is in.
Yes.
And therefore, when you say about the maximum number of contradictions because of which the sweetness increases in braja, is because of the conjugal, which uses more sanctuary bhav, because after puttari it is using more. And that is the reason why there is more sweetness into it, the taste, the exchange of rasa.
Okay.
And? Yeah.
And?
Yeah,
is that done?
Yeah.
Okay. Question is, since the sanctuary bhava is connected to the sthayi bhava, so therefore, and the contradictions increase the taste, since there's the most contradictions within the conjugal, is that the reason that it's the superior?
Yeah, it uses more of the...
It uses more of the sanctuary. You could say that is a symptom of it. But it's the intensity, it's that aspect of that oneness that's there that creates the intensity. And these are just things that go along with it. Because the intensity is more, therefore it's naturally the sanctuary bhavas will be more. But it's not that that's the only symptom. It's about, these are symptoms of the bhavas. These are the tastes of the bhava. But it's the aspect, the sthayi bhava, the nature of the sthayi bhava that's there. They're simply ornaments to the sthayi bhava. Does that make sense? Yes.
So the sthayi bhava would be in sambandha, and then the prayojana is anubhava and sattvika bhava. But what's the connection?
You have them in all of them. You can, in other words, express the sambandha of the sthayi bhava. You can express the abhideya, and you can express the prayojana. So you can give all three, all of that. But you would say is that the sthayi bhava, if you want to do that, then you could say in that way, then you would say the sthayi bhava would be the sambandha, the vibhava would be the abhideya, and the anubhavas and the sattvika bhavas, that would be the prayojana. Like that, if you want to take that. But they're all going on at once. So it's just a matter of appreciating the things, then the acharyas bring out the particular aspects. The combination is called rasa.
Right.
See, is that one has a sthayi bhava, then you're not tasting rasa. You're not tasting rasa until the ingredients, they're called the ingredients of rasa.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when these other ingredients are added, that's when the taste comes. Right? So only when you have that relationship with Krishna, but unless there's the opportunity to express that, right? Because you have the ashray and vishay, but unless there's, so in the alambana, but unless there's the udipan of, that they're actually some reason to interact, then the taste doesn't come. You understand? Means, of course, being in that, but what are you doing? You're remembering Krishna, and what are you remembering? The udipan of that particular rasa. So that's why it's saying by directly interacting or by meditation, it's the same. Because seeing Krishna directly, his beauty in his threefold standing form, and meditating upon Krishna in his threefold bending form is the same. There's no difference. Right? But there'll be a difference in the flavor. But that it's Krishna, it's 100% the same. And that, let's say, you know, from Mother Jashoda, that she's tasting that is that both of them are parental rasa. So there's no change there. The difference is when she's physically with Krishna, then it gives the flavor of sambhoga, and when she's just, you know, in meditation, then it gives the flavor of vipralamba. Does that make sense? And so the vipralamba is always stronger. Because that attachment, then that vipralamba comes up. Does that make sense? So that intensity then is, it creates that. Then, because of that, then the sambhog will increase. So it'll become great. Then, naturally when they go away, then the vipralamba becomes even stronger again. So the two go together. So in other words, you have that, only because there's sambhog, there's vipralamba. But then, that being the course of that, it's more intense. That then raises the next pair of that sambhog and vipralamba up to the next level of intensity. You understand? So that's why it said the vipralamba is more intense.
So they keep nourishing each other.
Yes, they nourish each other. Yes. You understand? So basically you can say is in Goloka they can appreciate this vipralamba and that to some degree, but only in Braj is it fully appreciated. Because of the that affection for Krishna, that it doesn't matter. There is no, because remember, in Vaikuntha, though they reject Sayujya, the other four are accepted. So that means wanting to be on the same planet, have the same form, have the same opulences, be an associate of the Lord is part of what they want. And because it's connected with Krishna, it's perfect. It's transcendental. But in Braj, it's just and they want to please Krishna at the same time as they want to please Krishna in those four conditions. But in Braj, it's they just want to please Krishna. So therefore, if not being around him, it means none of those aspects of liberation are there, they're still happy to be involved in the process of pleasing Krishna. So that's why in Braj only, you get this aspect that Vipralamba can be such a major player in the pastimes, because the other realms, they can't appreciate it. To some degree, yes, but not so much. You know, so that's the point for the Brajabasis. It's the same. Because when you're with him, then you're worried that he'll go away. And when he's gone away, you're thinking about him and you're with him. Right? So the two go together simply to increase rasa. So one who say, oh, so then they'll just be Viparlamba, but then how will it increase unless there's Sambhav? Right? And Viparlamba will only increase because there's some, you know, because the Sambhav, it increases because of, so it's always getting more. So that's the point, it goes beyond, you know, the intellectual understanding. Because we feel that Viparlamba is a problem, because that's a major point in the material world, right? Is those that you want to be with, you can't be with. So in other words, in the material world, you have Sambhog and Viparlamba, right? How does that work? Viparlamba is those that you want to be with, you can't be with. Sambhog is those you don't want to be with, you're with. That's how it works in the material world. And now and again, it switches. Right? Does that make sense? So that's just how it... So that's one. Remember, that's one of the meditations that Manu gives for the mentality of sannyas. It's just that material world, whatever you're looking for in the way of taste, it's not there. One, it's hollow, and you still don't get it. You know, you want something even though it's hollow, and you can't get it. So it's like double. You know how you say? Yes. So that's why then, by adding Krishna, that also goes back to your previous question, is that by adding Krishna, it becomes perfect. Even the form's not perfect, because the whole purpose of form is Krishna. So even if it's not an ideal form, because Krishna's there, it still works. But if it's about Krishna's pleasure, you're always trying to bring the form and activity closest to what Krishna likes. But that not at the expense of the attitude of you know, that favorable affection. Does that make sense? So that's why then sadhana means you're adjusting with this. Doing things for Krishna, but at the same time doing them nicely for Krishna. And doing what Krishna would like nicely for Krishna. So that's why sadhana means that there has to be that practice. Because in the beginning we can do something nicely if we're getting a benefit, and we don't do something nicely if we don't get the benefit. And whatever we feel will give us the benefit, that's what we do. And whatever we feel won't give us the benefit, we won't do. So we already have some very bad habits. So now we're going against both of those by doing pleasing someone else instead of ourselves, and doing what they like rather than what we like. So we have to get used to both using the form and the other. So we may agree to, okay, the mood, I'll do it for Krishna, but I'm keeping the form. I'm attached to the form. But it has to be, we have to give that up also. Doesn't mean the form has to change. We have to, you know, if it's something Krishna already likes, no need to change it. It's a matter of changing that I'm doing because Krishna likes it rather than I like it. Does that make sense? You know, that's where you get that aspect. So that's why then I'm doing this because of my conditioned background, and my conditioned background may not be what's recommended. So I use that in Krishna's service, so therefore I've added Krishna to the formula. Right? But it's mixed because why I'm doing those is myself. But the results for Krishna. So the more that's pure, then the more we get benefit in advance. But at some point then it comes down to, but this form isn't that pleasing to Krishna. So if I really wanted to please Krishna, there's an alternative form to use. And so then at that point, I would surrender my mundane identity or upadhi and take up the upadhi that, I mean not the upadhi, take up the identity I'm serving of Krishna. Therefore, as Krishna's servant, I would do it in this way. Does that make sense? So that's then what would happen. That would be the natural progression through mixed devotional service to pure devotional service. So it'll have both the attitude and the form. So in the first we change the attitude. But if certain forms are really bad and we're not going to remember Krishna doing that, that's why we change the form. Right? Does that make sense? So, you know, therefore you change from non-veg to vegetarian, because the sinful form, there's a good chance you just because of the sin, you won't be able to remember Krishna, and so that's why it's changed. Then with time, it's you're doing that because it pleases Krishna. In the beginning, we do it because that's the rule. And I want to get out of mundane conscious. I want to become freed from all the misery of the material world, or you know, the lack of knowledge, or the emotional, you know, difficulties or lack of facilities. So by doing this process, I can correct that. I'm doing it because of that, right? So that's your arta jigyasa, right? So, but with time, I see it's about the relationship with Krishna. Then I want to know about Krishna. But the point is, it's not about knowing about Krishna. It's about the love for Krishna. Like Mother Jashoda, she doesn't actually care to know about Krishna. He's showing the universal form, this and that. She's not interested. So it's about loving Krishna. And so then the expression of that love. So that's the Sarva Dharmam Parityaja. It's about the expression of love. Therefore the form is used. Well, we start with the form. We may start with a sinful form. Then with time we'll switch to a pious form. But it's still about the form. And then with time, then it's not about pleasing Krishna. And if this form happens to be the one to continue to use, I use that if it matches my nature and everything. But if it's actually not, then I'll switch to the one that is. Does that make sense? So that's just the natural progression. So because the core is the affection, then the secondary is only to support that. So that's why sometimes you may see in as pastimes unfold, there'll be some contradictory aspects. But the core stays the same. Mother Jashoda's affection for Krishna doesn't change. Whether she's sitting with Krishna on her lap and feeding him, or she puts him down and then goes to take the milk off the oven. Because it's just done because it's Krishna's milk that's on the oven. Does that make sense? Does that work? Yeah, so another way we can see is the technicality that's there in the other nine cantos to show us how to get from, you know, from develop, I mean, how to develop that faith and then how to do everything in connection with Krishna. Then, you know, it has all the lots of technicality there. And we see that technicality tends to be a little bit more kind of intellectual, right? Mechanical. Because it's dealing with the forms. Right? Shankya is dealing with the 24 elements. That's form. Right? And so then, but with time, because we're engaging in Krishna's service, we get purified. And being purified, then it comes to the position where then it's about pleasing Krishna. So these are the mechanics of how it works. Right? So it's not that as I cook to please Krishna only, then I don't, you know, use the spoon to stir the sabji. Now I put the spoon on the stove and use the pan to stir the sabji, but because the sabji one doesn't fit so well in the spoon, is kind of stacked up, there's no really need to stir it, because if you do, it'll fall over the oven. And the pan's too big, so I have to turn it around and use the handle. Right? No, the mechanics stay the same. That's why we say it doesn't change. So spontaneous has nothing to do with changing mechanics. Spontaneous, just like if I spontaneously decide to make an adjustment in the recipe, the adjustments will still be made according to the mechanics of cooking. Does that make sense? I decide I'm going to put in an extra spice, I still put it into the preparation. I don't just throw it into the air and sneeze. Right? You know, that's the problem. The modern, you come up with these, hence Moses' monstrous pompadour. Right? It's got to be different, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes?
Maharaj, can you say that the first nine canto are teaching us to connect secondary to the primary? To
yes, no, from seventh canto to it means it's always yes. Mentioned. But the emphasis is on connect what we're doing to Krishna. Well, then you see from the seventh canto, it's about pleasing Krishna and therefore connect see that what we're doing is pleasing to Krishna. Like that. And so, as you'll have the standard methods, then you'll see in sixth canto, you know, for the first six cantos, just what's the rules. But then you'll see is that going beyond that, you can be more advanced and go beyond the rules. As you see is that in the sixth canto, so many of the examples of great devotees are all paramahamsas. Though they're all taking the duties of kings and they shows their family. Like the only example really of the finer points of husband and wife interaction, I think, are shown with Priyavrata. But that's not shown in the other ones. Some of the form is shown with Kardama. So you've shown those things, the consideration with there, but then you're showing the finer, the more contradictory aspects with Priyavrata. So you have two ends of the scale. It's like Kardama is basically kind of like your first whole, like how to engage Grihastha life in Krishna service nicely, you know, by detail. And then Priyavrata is, you know, there at the end. You know, so you have that. Then you go into seventh canto, where you're then seeing that it's not about the form. It's about that devotion to Krishna. And then the appropriate form is used to express it. Right? So the first is giving up our attachment to the form and using that to please Krishna. Right? So you're trying to get someone to first work on the principle of, you know, of piety with renunciation. And then piety with sannyas. But then you're bringing to the point of, no, it's about devotion and sannyas. Right? Means that's the emphasis. Right? So it's not piety and then devotion, it's devotion and piety. Right? Because it's just as a support. Like if I say, okay, I want to cook this, then I'm going to start looking for the ingredients. Right? You know, so that's the whole idea. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
He was really anxious.
Okay. He was really anxious, so he did not stay away very long, right? Only a moment, you know, one of our years. So. He came back after a moment of his calculation. So he just took them and then waited. Okay, well, I should go check. You know what I'm saying? But it's in his calculation. He hadn't adjusted himself to working on our time. He was still working in his time. When Brahma returned, he saw that all the boys, calves, and cows were playing with Krishna in the same way as when he had come upon them. By Krishna's display of yoga maya, the same pastimes are going on without any change. So it appears that, one, you could take it either generic, that how the cowherd boys would play and this and that. Then it would go on, that those were going on, you know, how they play, laugh, joke, sit, eat lunch, you know, generic concept. Or it could also be indicating that exactly as how Brahma saw and then made his arrangement, he came back and they're exactly going on in the exact same way. Because that would be even more bewildering. Because if they were just kind of going on, how is this, you know? But when it's exactly the same, it's then it's as if, did I actually, you know, am I under illusion that I stole the boys and I didn't? Yeah. On the day when Brahma had first come, Baladev could not go with Krishna and the cowherd boys, for it was his birthday, and his mother had kept him back for the proper ceremonial bath, called Santika Snana. Right? Because otherwise, if he had gone, how is Brahma going to steal him? Right? So it wouldn't have worked out very well. Therefore, Baladev was not taken by Brahma at that time. Now, 1 year later, Brahma returned. And because he returned on exactly the same day, Balaram was again kept at home for his birthday. So Balaram wasn't there for this Brahma Vimohan. So just Balaram asked, what's going on? He explained it. Oh, okay. But then, because it was that same day, then Lord Brahma thought, you know, so that's why it's exactly the same. Right? Lord Brahma thought, whatever boys and calves were in Gokula, I have kept them sleeping on the bed of my mystic potency. And to this very day, they have not yet risen again. A similar number of boys and calves have been playing with Krishna for one whole year, yet they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic power. Who are they? Where did they come from? Srila Prabhupada comments, For 1 year, Lord Brahma kept the calves and cows lying down in a cave by his mystic power. Therefore, when Brahma saw Lord Krishna still playing with all the cows and calves, he began trying to reason about what was happening. Right? Because that's the point, trying to reason, because if you use material intelligence, you can't understand Krishna. What is this, he thought. Maybe I took those calves and cowherd boys away, but now they have been taken from that cave. Is this what has happened? Has Krishna brought them back here? Then, however, Lord Brahma saw that the calves and boys he had taken were still in the same mystic maya into which he had put them. Thus he concluded that the calves and cowherd boys now playing with Krishna were different from the ones in the cave. He could understand that although the original calves and boys were still in the cave, where he had put them, Krishna had expanded himself, and so the present demonstration of calves and boys consisted of expansions of Krishna. Right? Means whether he's seeing them as directly the Lord or just his potencies. Right? They had the same features, the same mentality, and the same intentions, but they were all Krishna. Right? So they were exactly like the cowherd boys in the cave, but they were Krishna. Without touching the original cows and cowherd boys kept by Brahma, Krishna had created another assembly of calves and boys who were all expansions of Vishnu Tattva. Thus, Brahma's mystic power was superseded. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thus, Lord Brahma, thinking for a long time, tried to distinguish between those two sets of boys, who are each separately existing. He tried to understand who was real and who was not real, but he couldn't understand at all, right? So he comes up with these things, but he can't understand anything. He's bewildered. Srila Prabhupada comments, Brahma could not grasp what was happening, which boys were real and which were not real. Brahma was unable to come to any definite conclusion. He pondered the matter for a long time. How can there be two sets of calves and boys at the same time? Have the boys and calves here been created by Krishna? Or has Krishna created the ones lying asleep? Right? In other words, he knew Brahma was coming, created them, he took them, and they were already illusion. And then the real ones came out, and now he's playing with them. Right? You know? Told everyone to hide behind trees, you know, like that, yeah. Or are both merely creations of Krishna? Right, he thought he had taken them, but he didn't, like this. Brahma thought about the subject in many different ways. Remember, having four heads, he'll be able to think about so many things at once. Right? After I go to the cave and see that the boys and calves are still there, does Krishna go take them away and put them here so that I come and see them? So I'm seeing him here, now I go to the cave, he's put them back in the cave, and then I come to the cave, oh, this... You know, they're here, so I think there's two sets, but it's still the same set. Then when I go back, he takes them back and puts them here, so I'm only doing... So whatever combinations of mental speculation you come up with, he's doing it, and he's getting bewildered, right? Because the more you speculate, the more you become bewildered. That's the problem. So in other words, if you're contemplating something and you're becoming more bewildered by it, then know that that's mental speculation. And if by contemplating you're becoming more and more, you know, convinced and understanding and more clear, that you know then is, you know, proper contemplation in Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So, easy way to tell the difference. Brahma could not figure out how there could be two sets of calves and cowherd boys exactly alike, although thinking he could not understand at all. So he's able to think just enough to bewilder himself, because that's the point, Brahma vimohana lila. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, but who, on the contrary, mystifies the entire universe, he himself was put into bewilderment by his own mystic power, right? So that's the rule. If you apply these potencies on someone who has greater potencies, they always come back and have the effect on you. So he wanted to bewilder Krishna, but it came back and bewildered him by Krishna's arrangement. Right? So that's the whole thing. Srila Prabhupada comments, Brahma wanted to bewilder Krishna, who bewilders the entire universe. The whole universe is under Krishna's mystic power, Mama Maya Duratyaya, Bhagavad Gita 7.14. But Brahma wanted to mystify him. The result was that Brahma himself was mystified, just as one who wants to kill another may himself be killed. In other words, Brahma was defeated by his own attempt. In a similar position are the scientists and philosophers who want to overcome the mystic power of Krishna. They challenge Krishna, saying, "What is God? We can do this and we can do that." But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. Right? The more the modern develops, the more problems there are. Right? The lesson here is that we should not try to overcome Krishna. Rather, instead of endeavoring to surpass him, we should surrender to him. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja, Bhagavad Gita 18.66. So these scientists and philosophers, instead of trying to go against Krishna and ignore Krishna, they should see how does he define philosophy and science? And therefore then, using that nature, you try to appreciate how Krishna is taking care of everything. How does that make sense? Then they'll become purified. But because they try to do this process ignoring Krishna, therefore there's always a problem. Instead of defeating Krishna, Brahma himself was defeated, for he could not understand what Krishna was doing. Since Brahma, the chief person within this universe, was so bewildered, what is to be said of so-called scientists and philosophers? Right? So he is actually intelligent. Right? Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. We should give up all our tiny efforts to defy the arrangement of Krishna. Instead, whatever arrangements he proposes, we should accept. So, instead of whatever comes up, we try to do what we want to do in the situation, defy Krishna. Whatever situations come up, we should see how to act in a way to please Krishna. Situations aren't going to change. Right? It's in that situation how to affect Krishna's pleasure. Right? So because of our karma, therefore we have situations. Right? So when we act with those situations connected to Maya, then according to our karma, then the next situations are created. And then how we act there, that's how they again the next ones after that. But if we act in Krishna consciousness in those situations, now then it's arranged according to Krishna karma. What will be best for our Krishna consciousness. So, it's the same thing. Krishna creates the situations. How will we respond either in material or Krishna consciousness? That's the independence. That's the choice. Does that make sense? This is always better, for this will make us happy. Okay, so we'll stop here. Yes. End on a happy note. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.